Using pre-recorded tracks during a live performance is nothing new, but the way that it's done and the amount that it's done have changed quite significantly over time. Cast your mind back to the 1960s and early 1970s. PA systems were not what they are today. Guitars and bass would have their own walls of amplifiers, with the PA only handling the vocals, and if the venue was big enough, also the drum kit. The systems back then didn't have lots of extra channels for extra parts, nor did they have the power to deal with the full range of frequencies at the same time and still sound any good. As the systems got better, though, more of the instruments would be routed through the PA. This also opened up the opportunity of using pre-recorded tracks at certain points in a song. Probably the best early example of a band doing this would be Queen with their seminal song Bohemian Rhapsody. Of course, when they did this, there was absolutely no pretense about what they were doing. They got to the operatic section, the stage went black, a fancy light show went up, and the track from the album would play through the PA system.
I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the bandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo. The band would then wait for the track to finish and come back in with their guitar, bass, drums, and finish the song live. This was a point when, whilst you could have nice high-fidelity sound going through the PA, you still couldn't sync everything up quite as well as you can these days. So the way that you could use tracks was limited by the technology of the time. These days, when bands can have in-ear monitors that give them a completely different mix to what's being heard out in the crowd, you can have some very different sorts of effects achieved. If you have a drummer that's playing to a click track, you can make sure that anything on your backing tracks will be synced up with the rest of the band. Now, this lets you incorporate all sorts of things that you wouldn't have been able to otherwise. Things that, up until then, you would have had to pay other musicians to do, such as having a rhythm guitar player, having a keyboard player, or even bringing an entire troupe of backup singers with you. So this is a really strong financial and logistical incentive to use a backing track. But when a backing track stops playing with a band and starts playing instead of a band, people seem to have far more of an issue with it. Scott Ian of the band Anthrax compared the backing track use of Rob Zombie to that of some other bands. He said,
"If you listen to the records, there's a lot of little spoken things and things from movies and samples and things like that. So if you're running those tracks, it's great because it adds an attitude and an atmosphere that isn't there if it's just the guitar, bass, drums and vocals. And I think that's great, and that's fine. But if you're faking it, no, I don't buy it. I think it should be printed on a ticket that for bands that are doing that and shows that are doing that, it should say 70% of the show you're paying $250 for is pre-recorded. It should say it on the ticket."
This was echoed from a comment by Gene Simmons of the band Kiss, who said,
"It should be on every ticket. You're paying $100. 30 to 50% of the show is backing tracks, and they'll sing sometimes, sometimes they'll lip sync. At least be honest. It's not about backing tracks. It's about dishonesty.
So, pre-recorded tracks are definitely being used by bands. Sometimes to augment their performance, sometimes to obscure it. My research survey will ask what people's feelings are on the matter. How would they prefer to hear a band play? Would they mind if there were extra tracks playing alongside the musicians? Does the band being honest about it make all the difference? Hopefully, we'll find out.